everybody, and welcome to Thursday, July 19th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that has 11 tales. Joining me this week are Mike Lemieux and Greg Jan. How are you guys doing?
Too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, I've been better. My parents dropped off a lot of food, and for some reason I said, okay, I don't have enough room for this in the fridge, so I'm going to eat most of it. This has been, like, the worst idea I've ever had.
That's a dark path.
Yep.
When you're eating food out of, like, laziness, I guess.
Not laziness, it's I don't have the space in the fridge, so where's it going to go?
But eating food out of not hunger is a bad road to go down.
Yep. Pretty much. So if I'm particularly lethargic or angry in this podcast, that's why.
But it tastes so good.
Why would food make you angry?
Not because I'm
No, he's mad
full.
That he's doing something other than eating right now.
Oh.
That's not helping my reputation. Anyway, on to Barrage. So this week we found out Astro backstory, in that he had a guy that taught him how to work and make money.
A very
to take
dapper
care of the
bum.
Other people.
An alien guy
was
that
very...
looks like Lucifer.
But
yeah,
in like...
he looks like a raggedy Lucifer. Like, he has a suit, but it looks very old and disheveled.
Yeah, he's a bum. Like,
yeah.
Like Astro is. But... yeah, just teaches them to be good or whatever.
His name is Black.
And, which is a pretty cool name, I gotta admit.
And apropos of today, he is a man who will never forgive anything crooked.
And I'm sure he will never show up again as a bad guy.
Clearly never.
Dusting hands.
Or as a victim or something like that.
Oh, he'll be a bad guy, since they're smiting aliens. That'll be
you
the
think
first
it's going to go straight to bad guy? You don't think that it's going to be like he might be one of the good aliens and some other bad guy takes him out and that causes Astro to go into some like insane rage?
I don't think it's going to be that simple.
I think he's going to be the guy that Astro can't use the org against.
Yeah. And I mean, he won't forgive anything crooked, but if let's say the Empire is doing things crooked, like this arc pretty much establishes they can, he'll probably be against them. But yeah, he finds Astro eating moldy food and the youngins and teaches him how to work, and that's who Astro considers his father type. So he and Tiamat go into the city and try to blend in and immediately just start beating people up.
Which I think is one of the things we guessed last week, that they try to just...
I don't know, like, we had Tiamat. So many different guesses of what could happen and go wrong with this that I don't think we can claim anything.
By the way, the alien design for the slaver is fantastic.
The big, like, where the wild things are looking thing?
Yeah. Like, that thing looks evil and creepy.
All the aliens look pretty creepy, actually.
This one especially. Like, I'm not feeling so much the other guy, the DBZ-looking guy, but...
I like
Dead Rock.
I like
this
his
one. Yeah.
I like his shoes because he's like totally naked and then he's got like sneakers on.
His big Nomura shoes.
Yeah.
So predictable.
Did think it was interesting that when he struck with the orc this time, it seemed like there was a bit of a pattern on it or something like that. So
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
His use of it is starting to evolve it.
I'm sure it'll. Yeah, we'll have to see some kind of change in the orc over time. It won't just be, you know. Right from the start. But Astro kills that guy really fast.
Yep. He pretty much loses it immediately. And then starts swinging wildly at the crowd or people around him.
Killing all of them, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyone he just barely touches.
And meanwhile, Tico has discovered her gun no longer works. While the DBZ guy, whose name I don't remember.
Tadpole,
was that it?
Yeah.
Somehow comes crashing through the floor. Or
ceiling
floor? Because they're underground, aren't they?
Well,
yeah.
Yes, but...
yeah. So he comes into...
the ceiling of the chamber that they were in.
Right.
He asked Jugo and Suigetsu for directions, and they told him just smash through the ground a bunch and you'll eventually find what you want.
Even his armor looks vaguely Frieza Army-ish.
That might not be on accident.
Yeah. I'm still getting a total DBZ vibe from him. But yeah, he comes in and... either kills or almost kills the old man.
Well, he's missing like half his torso, so...
Is that it? I thought it was just like coming in because he was being kicked.
No.
Nope. There's like tons of blood and he like punches a hole out of him.
So it hasn't been yet established if people will, well, I guess enemies die frequently in this, but we haven't seen the good guy thing. So we don't know whether this is a bleach part of my torso has been removed or a everything else part of my torso has been removed.
Or it could be a one-piece part of my torso is removed where he just, he's like, I'm fine, it's cool.
Well, if Tico's going to go with them, she's got to have nothing to go back to here.
Yep.
So
that's the first thing I thought when I saw it happen. He's
like, well, there's her reason for joining.
Yep. Which, I'll be honest, I kind of wasn't necessarily expecting him to die that quickly.
Yeah, I figured that old guy would die eventually, but not right away.
He may hang on.
Well, I could even see it as, you know, he could be... I mean, it's not like nobody in One Piece had somebody back home that even when they departed or something like that. So I could have seen it as he would be back home trying to reestablish the human rule or something like that while she went and traveled with them.
And again, he might not be dead. I mean,
yeah, we don't know the rules of this manga quite yet.
All he's missing is a lung and maybe a kidney and part of his stomach, probably. So it looked like Tadpole was using that black mist stuff again at the end of the chat, or like when he comes smashing in, his legs are all misty. So whatever power this is that these aliens are getting.
Huh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. I'm guessing they're augmenting their strength somehow.
Somebody mentioned that there was a hint again this chapter that Tiamat is not human, but I couldn't figure out what that was supposed to be.
I still don't see it. Like, I think people are grasping at straws a bit with that.
I think they're leaving it open, but there was a there's been a couple of things.
It's definitely being left open. No, there was one line, but I'm trying to. I saw what they were talking about. I thought that this one was extremely a stretch, but give me a sec.
Yeah, so it seems like Tico is more or less a lock to join. I'm kind of curious, like. They said they probably can't get to the communication tower if they start a ruckus. So I wonder if the rest of this arc is just going to be straight out fighting.
They do seem to be just beelining for the bad guys.
Yeah. Which I'm not sure if it's refreshing or a little too simple.
I don't know. This manga's been moving at a pretty good pace, so...
Yeah.
I appreciate the brevity of maybe not dragging it out.
The incidental aliens are actually also pretty well designed. The guys are not really focusing on, but just happen to be there.
Like the boar dude.
Yeah, and the dude that looks like a Ghibli monster.
Double elbow guy.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, do you think Barrage is going to get a decent arc out of this, or just going to be, here's where we introduce a third character, then we're going to start the real arc after this?
I think there's bigger things at play here with the shadow dude. Like,
you don't think it's just going to be like straight to the tower, fight them, and then Tico joins?
It wouldn't surprise me if like there's something bigger at play and they will free this city, but the big bad guy, they either don't face him or he just ends up leaving the city to go somewhere else.
Yeah, that's what I was saying is like this town may go quickly, but I think it's leading into something bigger.
I'd like that. I feel like the main thing this thing is lacking so far is a sense of adventure.
Yeah, like, especially with Dead Rock, they just kind of popped into town, killed him, and left.
Right. That's the one thing One Piece, not the one thing One Piece gets right, but one of the most important things One Piece gets right. You always feel like the characters are on adventure as opposed to just fighting enemy to enemy.
I
think that... What this series needs is an established villain to have as a target, because it's all well and good to have some sort of, you know, eventual goal, dream sort of thing, but there needs to be a target to work towards.
That's what I think this shadow guy is.
Yeah.
I think he might be one of the people who, like, they need to take out eventually. Because, I mean, the very, like, first or second chapter, they outlined there's, like, 7 other people you need to defeat. And then they haven't really talked about it since then. It's all been very vague, protect industrial sort of things.
Yeah.
All right, so any more thoughts on this chapter?
Nah.
I think it'll be interesting to see how Tico handles this without her gun.
The backstory felt maybe a little forced, like just kind of shoehorned in.
I feel like if it has relevance this arc, then this is probably the only time they have to do it.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on from Barrage to Bleach, which the best way I can summarize this chapter is it's a French student film about Byakuya.
That's the weirdest summary I've ever heard you use about any of the manga that we've done.
It's basically true. It's the Kurasu-type character talking to Byakuya about fear and just him imagining all the various ways he could die.
This chapter was just so weird. Like,
I guess they were trying to give Byakuya he dies, I guess, at the end. So they're trying to give him a good chapter to die on. I don't know.
I mean, we did kind of skip over the very start of the chapter with Ichigo, but that's like one page, so...
Yeah. Ichigo's still stuck.
But I mean, just the dialogue, the weird shot of zombie Rukia, the...
What, you don't think it's a good plan for Renji to watch Byakuya die and then figure out how to fight him?
Yeah, that too. Like, what kind of plan is that? Like, okay, watch him kill me and see if you can glean anything from that might help you.
I like how Byakuya's reasoning was, you're not smart enough to figure it out unless you see me do it. Like, you couldn't force him to use some of his powers. Yeah, what? It's a stupid chapter. I mean, there's nothing particularly interesting about it.
It was well drawn.
It was well drawn, I guess.
It was well composed, I guess. The action scenes looked pretty good, like swinging the swords and...
This felt like fan fiction more than it did an issue of Bleach.
The picture of zombie Rukia is what really bothers me. It's just so...
out of place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is he trying to apply for another manga within Bleach? Is this what happening? Kurasu stabs him. There we go. That's what happened.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't even do that. It has some kind of like tornado thing. I mean, it's obvious that he's using Byakuya's power against him, and nobody seems to notice that yet.
Nope.
He's got the swirling blades that nobody's paying any mind to.
Well, it took them a while to figure out how it went from like stealing Bankai to stealing Bankai. Maybe they don't think they can use it yet. Maybe that's the next big revelation. Even though he very clearly uses it in one of the panels. Like, he actually holds up the Bankai.
Yeah. And has the little tornado blades thing.
Yeah, up in the sky above him. And so I'm sure that Renji, now having seen it, will convey that information to everybody else like it's this giant revelation.
Or Renji has still not figured everything out, and there's going to be more fight before he does.
You know, it'd be funny if it's as simple as, like, oh, they can only use our Bankai against us. Now we've got them. It's like, like all those times I've beaten Byakuya before. Wait.
I bet they can't use it again.
I bet they can't steal more than one. Let's find out. Bankai.
And they basically use it like items. He pulls it out and then uses it. And then it starts.
Well, to be fair, it probably is like a physical item.
Right.
Because a lot of Ishida's stuff was like physical pendants that he would seal stuff into.
Yeah, like the Gigai and those sort of things.
Yeah, his little sword keychain things.
I like how Rukia is fighting no one.
She's a vice captain. What would she be doing fighting?
Well, there's been plenty of dead vice captains so far.
You're right, though. She has like her sword drawn just standing in the middle of nowhere.
Getting distracted by the fact that Byakuya is clearly dying.
And or dead, because the last page says R.I.P.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with some character deaths.
I guess it's...
Well, like I said, we called this one, like, how many chapters ago that Byakuya would be, like, one of the people to die?
When he first stepped up, that's when we called it. Because it was obvious then.
Because older brothers like killing themselves in manga.
Yep. And this is going to be the thing that will piss Ichigo off enough to kill everybody.
Nah, he's just going to stay trapped in his cage.
That nobody seems to have found a solution for.
Yeah, that guy's dead. Shouldn't that cage have gone away?
I'm sure it will in like 16 more chapters.
Well, Urahara was contacting him about something, so we know that the cliffhanger in the previous chapter didn't end up killing him, so maybe whoever he met up with is going to end up freeing Ichigo.
Yeah, I'm disappointed we didn't get any kind of resolution to that, but I guess Bleach, so.
We did get, like, 15 color pages.
Yeah.
Which makes this a pain to click through when I'm looking for, like, specific ones.
Yeah, whatever.
I like how Ichigo figured out, like, he couldn't just break through it, thus he was out of ideas.
Well, what else was he going to try and do?
Not even my one attack works? Well, I'm screwed.
Probably should have worked on something else before this.
Also, as a separate note, is he going through that, like, in-between thing where time is supposed to be... Is he in the hyperbolic time chamber right now? Because shouldn't time be moving so much slower for him than the people he's on the phone with?
Oh, no. Are you suggesting a training arc within the tunnel?
No, you missed it.
No, that's what happened last time.
Really?
Yeah, him and his dad trained in there for, like, 3 years during the Aizen fight. Yep, right in the middle of the Aizen fight.
It was literally the hyperbolic time chamber.
Oh.
Ichigo came out with long hair. Yeah.
And the quote-unquote final Getsuga Tensho. And the only reason they could do it was, you remember that giant train thing that cleans out in between the worlds and whatnot? From way back in the day, Imran?
Yeah.
Yeah, Aizen destroyed that for the hell of it, just to prove that he could on the way in. So it wasn't around.
So
that's how he was able to use it to, yeah.
Is Ichigo 3 years older than everyone else?
That did kind of get brushed over, didn't it?
Yeah, well no, didn't they, like, there was some hand wave to erase it when he lost his powers and whatnot.
Wait, if I remember right, he, like, expelled all his energy and, like, his hair shortened or something, or...
Yeah, there was something that undid it, kind of.
What you just described to me is the stupidest thing I've heard about Bleach in a long time.
No, it was literally when people, when that was revealed, everybody's reaction was, oh, they just found the hyperbolic time chamber.
Yeah, it never crossed my mind for a second to call it anything other than that, because it's just so blatant.
Easy plot device to finish a fight.
So anyway, this chapter, one thing I liked is they mentioned that the blades have some kind of poison on them. So I'm wondering if...
That was something that he was guessing.
Yeah,
he didn't actually know.
Because he didn't know he was actually afraid.
Oh, is that?
Yeah, it was speculation on his part.
I was hoping the Quincy could, like, evolve the Bankai so we could at least get, like, something interesting.
Nope.
Never mind. I had something positive to say, but you guys shot it down.
Does Byakuya's sword have, like, a, what do you call those, spirit animal kind of things?
We haven't seen it.
Ah.
There was the anime filler, but that wasn't really canon. So,
because I could see Kubo trying to redesign those things for Quincy ownership.
Yeah, I figured that would happen, but it seems like they're just able to use their powers.
All right. So, any final thoughts on this chapter?
Eh.
It was stupid. It was really stupid.
Bleach, yeah, I thought it was well drawn.
I read Bleach now, and I'm like, oh god, I have to talk about this.
This is like sub Yu Yu Hakusho tournament level fight. Where they have an enemy with a crazy ability, and then they try to put on some, like, really dramatic tension to the fight. But it comes off incredibly stupid.
Hey guys, I have an idea. You know how we were trying to decide whether to add Takamagahara or Assassination?
We're not
Classroom?
Removing Bleach before it ends.
What if we remove Bleach before it ends and to add both of them?
This wasn't a new idea. You've approached this to me before.
But I'm saying it now, on air, where other people can hear it.
So speaking of Assassination Classroom.
Yeah, with no One Piece this week, we might as well talk about it.
Yeah. So... this is basically following the same pattern, I guess?
That's just everyday life with the sensei.
Yeah, except they're trying to kill him.
Yes, which is pretty great.
My problem with this manga right now is that it feels like every chapter it has to be one person calling out how weird the situation is. Like, wow, isn't it strange that this monster is doing this? And it's like, yeah, I mean, it's been strange for the last couple
of
weeks.
That's
kind of the
point.
Yeah.
It's like they're just realizing it after months of going to school here. It's like, you know, this monster teaching us math is kind of weird. Anybody else feel this way? Just me?
But yeah, I mean, I don't know how much mileage is going to have with, like, it's basically just the students happily trying to kill him.
Well, they seem
to be pushing it in a different direction as of this chapter.
Yeah.
They introduce an assistant teacher who, I guess, worked for the government?
That's the guy from the first chapter, the FBI agent.
Yeah. And he has a teaching degree for some reason.
Well, he's a PE teacher. I mean, what do you...
Yeah. So he's...
What, do you go to, like, a night school for that or something?
He gets established as the assistant teacher. And I guess the first thing he does is... I don't know if that's him or that's other FBI agents that bring in an expelled student. Who looks way too much like Iori from King of Fighters.
It looks like other people. Yeah, they're bringing in some kind of assassin to join the class.
And the rest of the chapter is basically made up of main character who's Nagisa, I think? The guy with girl hair.
Yes.
That he's just writing down what he believes the teacher's weaknesses to be.
And there's stuff like when he tries to look cool, he messes up.
Yeah, and he is petty, which is not really a weakness, but...
It's comedy.
Yeah.
It's a character weakness.
Yeah, it was... The entire writing down the weaknesses while watching everything carry out was kind of entertaining.
I do say I really like the weirdness of the students laughing and smiling while holding knives and guns and trying to stab him.
Yeah, but I feel like that's going to get old eventually.
Probably, but for now it's pretty funny.
I kind of want to see, like, honestly, that aspect more than anything else, I would like to see an anime of this just to see the, like, kids hear them actually laughing while attempting to stab and murder the teacher. That aspect of it seems like it would be a lot more effective and entertaining in an animated form.
Right.
Just a lively classroom of people trying to murder somebody.
It's absurd enough to work.
So I don't think we can week to week predict what's going to happen with this, but like long term, what do you think this manga is going to do?
I don't know. With this new assassin, I get the feeling eventually it's going to come down to like, we can't let him die. We kind of like the teacher, you know, they want to kill him and get the money, so they have to stop this assassin.
I think that the question's more like long term, it's going to get into why it's going to destroy Earth.
Yeah. Although, for right now, the motive just seems to be he thinks it'd be funny or something.
Well, yeah. He says it's because, in one of the chapters, he says it's because he knows he's powerful because they want to kill him. So
proving how powerful he is.
Because they take that threat seriously, he knows he's powerful. I think what's going to happen is that he's just going to let Nagisa kill him at some point. And Nagisa will refuse.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say they couldn't do this manga without the teacher.
Right. But I guess he's trying, like, we'll eventually find out why he's teaching this class. Like, who the teacher was he made a promise to.
I still think it's going to be the thing of, I was training you to fight this thing.
I wonder if this manga is intended to have a very short life, though. Like, 50, 75 chapters at most.
It definitely doesn't seem like the sort of thing that has a whole lot of long-term story going on with it.
Yeah, you can't build, like, a Naruto or a DBZ out of this.
And he'd have to know that going in. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it weird that every time they show a panel with a hunk of the moon taken out of it, all I can think about is, like, how rigid the moon would be and how long it would take for it to turn into a sphere again?
Yes.
Like, just from gravitational forces.
That is kind of weird.
Well, because, yeah, it would just collapse back in on itself and just become a smaller moon.
Yeah, but I'm wondering how long that would take. Anyway, yeah.
I forget, do they have any proof that those weapons actually work on him?
He blew off one of his tentacles.
Oh, right.
With the gun in the first chapter.
Like, it started dissolving him, and he had to, like, rip off a tentacle. Which he then just immediately grew back.
Alright, so that was Assassination Clash. Was there a new Takamagahara this week?
There should have been, but it didn't. It hasn't been translated yet.
All right.
Yeah, it's fine.
And that series is also getting added to Shonen Jump Alpha.
Good. Good.
Yeah, that one's getting added, and then what they're ending up doing additionally is apparently they're picking out four different series that are monthly. So there's the new Rurouni Kenshin, and there's the Yu-Gi-Oh one, and then there's two other monthly series from the Shisui's monthly magazine that they're going to be doing on a rotating schedule, so you get one of those every 4 weeks.
I do think that between Assassination Classroom and Takamagahara, Assassination Classroom is probably the more interesting thing to talk about week to week. Because I think Takamagahara is just going to be another fighting manga, and we can wait till Bleach is over to talk about that week to week.
You know, I bet he gets captured somehow, and the students go save him.
Yeah. I bet they begin to like him, and they use the justification of the money to convince themselves that, you know, like, oh, we have to go save him because we want the money. Yeah, yeah, that's why we want to do it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Seems entirely reasonable.
Yeah.
Seems entirely Japanese manga, too.
Yeah. So Naruto. I want to get into this.
So, I guess I forgot about it, but apparently there's a Ten Tails.
Yeah.
Well, no, I thought that they were talking about the No-Tailed Beast originally, way back in the day.
Was that the original one?
I thought I'll have to double check, but for some reason I had in my head No-Tailed, not Ten-Tailed. But...
Like, I know we've seen this thing before because it was the statue that they were absorbing Gaara with.
Well, yeah, no. This thing was the, yeah, it was the statue that it was absorbing them into. But
And this thing isn't actually the Ten, is it the Ten-Tails?
No, it itself is not.
It summons the Ten Tails, right? Or
something along those lines. Like, isn't the Ten Tails isn't it supposed to be sealed inside the moon?
Oh.
This is getting dumber explaining it.
It's getting more...
Shut up, it's awesome.
Okay, yeah, and I was wrong. It wasn't No-Tailed. Ten Tails was the original one all along. So,
No-Tails
yeah.
does sound familiar, but...
Yeah.
I mean, he explicitly says the Ten Tails has been revived.
Yeah, okay, and I just realized that I was merging the plan to have the, you know, Genjutsu cast on the moon so that everybody would be hypnotized thing, was combining that with that old PlayStation game, Legend of Dragoon.
I can see that.
Yeah, where the moon is the egg of the, you know, creature from the past that would destroy the world sort of thing.
But to be fair, the monster is probably in the moon somehow. That sounds like a Naruto thing too.
It's entirely possible, but it has not been implied at this point. But so it hasn't been established whether that statue thing actually is the tailed beast or whether it's just this thing that he's using to summon it.
Kakashi says this chapter, the Mazo is the vessel of the Ten Tails. So I think he's the Jinchuriki. Like, the giant statue is the Ten Tails Jinchuriki.
I thought that Toby's plan was to become the Jinchuriki of the Ten Tails himself.
Is that it?
Yeah, that was something that was mentioned back in the day.
This is convoluted and awesome.
I don't know. So, I mean, it's more complicated and not awesome than it is anything else.
I just... The only thing that bothers me about this entire thing is how ass-pully it feels that, oh, these two guys that were brought back by this other jutsu happen to have the Ninetales Chakra, and that's good enough.
Well, it does explain why they focus on that fight back then.
True. And yeah.
It continues to bother me that people are, like, glitching jutsus.
Yeah.
Like, they're figuring out workarounds and, like, gaming the system. Stuff that shouldn't work.
Well, I mean...
They're sequence breaking.
We're doing it at not full power has been a kind of Naruto thing forever.
What gets me, though, is the fact that he had this stuff before the war even started, like, making this entire war, just absolutely pointless.
Well, he didn't have the eight-tail tentacle, did he?
Yes, he did. Sasuke brought that.
Oh, I thought he got that here. Okay.
Nope.
Then...
That was way back, because, remember, Sasuke thought he had captured Killer Bee, but it turned out that it was just the tail that, or the one tentacle that had been cut off, and it transformed back when, they went to put it into the statue.
All Toby needed was the Kanaku and Genkaku chakra, which he could have just had Kabuto make for him.
Well, I guess he wanted the full power.
Yeah, I guess.
But from all apparent, from the apparent conversation, it's not really necessary. So yeah, it basically in this chapter, the entire war became pointless.
Well, I don't know that it's not necessary because they still think they can beat him. Just. They're not 100% sure. So maybe he wanted to just get to the point where he knew they couldn't beat him.
He wanted 100% power, not 90% power.
Yeah.
Because they might beat 90% power.
So the most interesting thing in this issue is that he talks to Kakashi and Guy as if, or Toby does, as if he knows them.
Yeah, in a very, very familiar tone.
Because he says things about Guy like he can't remember anybody, which is true, and talks about Kakashi living, what was it, like a lifetime of hurt or something like that?
Yeah, but didn't Kakashi not meet Guy until after the entire thing with Obito had already happened? Because that seems to be the direction that this is pointing in, is that Tobi is actually Obito. And then,
I mean, he could have still known Guy.
I suppose, yeah.
They were the same age. They were in the same class.
Well, no, they were the same age, but I didn't think that they were in the same class. That was in the anime, and that probably wasn't canon. Never mind.
In any case, this is basically like a giant signal flag that this is Obito. Like,
yeah, which my current theory combining the stuff is that the Tobi in the, you know, that the fourth faced and whatnot, or the guy with the mask that the fourth faced, was actually Madara, who has either, you know, transported some of his, like, he was the one who found Obito. He transported some of his chakra or some of his, like, mental state or something like that into him, which is why Tobi is still around now with the same mask. And then they recognized one another when he brought him back from the dead and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I could see that. You think he just, like, Orochimaru'd him?
Kind of, yeah.
Either took over his body or put some essence of himself.
Did something to corrupt him, but then also made him more powerful, because if you remember, Obito was kind of crappy.
Yeah,
Orochimaru is the one thing that takes this theory from being, like, stupid and dismissible to actually possible, because that guy's been around forever. So logically, other people can pretty much do the same thing.
Again, glitching jutsus to...
wasn't that one of the things with Akatsuki, is that, like, all of them found their own ways to basically become immortal, for the most part?
And you think Madara's is having himself live on through other Uchihas or something?
I have no idea, yeah. But
I consider this, like, 100% confirmation that this is Obito in some fashion. As soon as he started taunting Kakashi like he knew him.
I don't know. It seems like to bring Obito back at this point requires so much motivation changing that I don't know that it makes sense.
It makes you wonder, how did he become evil, is basically the question.
Well, I'm sure we'll get some flashback chapters about that.
He was replaced by a big nose Obito.
But yeah, so the rest of this chapter is just the 10 tails is bad news and we got to stop it.
Yeah, and I do like the excuse for how Naruto is now going to be able to hit Tobi is because he's going to be attacking the other thing and Tobi has to prevent him from being able to hit it.
I really love the action panels and, like, the shots of Tobi in this chapter. They're all really well drawn.
But where did Obito get a Rinnegan?
What's his name's corpse.
Pain,
yeah.
But didn't Madara have that when he fought Fourth?
All of the zombies have the Rinnegan too. He gave it to the tailed people too.
Huh.
It's stupid, but it happened.
Yeah.
I did like that.
He took one for himself, and he has one for the other thing, or I don't know exactly. Yeah.
Basically, everyone has a Sharingan and a Rinnegan now.
I did like the B joke where everyone's being serious about their dreams and getting their motivations up to fight Obito or Tobi or whatever, and B just sort of talks about how he likes women with big breasts. That he's a MILF chaser.
Yep.
Everybody's got to have a dream.
Yep.
And his dream is Tsunade or whatever, right?
So it says that.
Oh yeah, hey, maybe.
It says that next chapter is going to be this big fight, but I'm guessing they're going to switch back to Madara or Sasuke because.
Well, next chapter is the special lead in to the movie, isn't it?
I thought that was this week.
Or wait, was that the cover, or is there some other?
It begins with a cover color.
Because our.
The place that I looked at seems to have cut out the color pages, so maybe...
Nobody's done them yet. It's a 33-page chapter, so...
Okay.
There's stuff that we're missing, but...
But yeah. I mean, it was interesting, but I'm having a hard time buying this Ten Tails thing.
Well, that's been around for a really long time.
I know, but it doesn't make it any less stupid.
Well, just think of it like Pokemon. Like, he's got his legendary now, and he's going to fight Naruto's legendary.
Is the Ten Tails something like... Because it wasn't in the picture with all the tailed beasts and the first sage.
It was It was the one that the Sage split all of the other ones out of.
It's the progenitor of all that exists in this world.
And apparently the harbinger of the apocalypse.
In the wrong hands, I would imagine.
So, he explained his plan, which was to put a Genjutsu to kill everybody?
No, he was going to project, basically, you can think of it as turning the moon into a giant Sharingan, to where he'll hypnotize the entire world and basically force peace.
But doesn't that only work for one place at a time, or one half of the world at a time?
No, the moon's everywhere all at once. Just like in TV shows.
Piccolo would be ashamed.
Moon.
Alright, so any final thoughts on Naruto?
I'm glad to be back to the primary fight.
For now.
For how little we're probably going to...
Because they haven't finished any of the other sides yet.
I enjoy Kurama now. In his, like, let's go team attitude.
Well, he's...
It's such a heel turn from how he used to be.
Why did he need to switch with Naruto for that speech?
Oh, because then he can speak directly to the other people, as opposed to having to, you know, have Naruto act as the telephone between them.
Oh, he can't talk directly to others?
No.
Ah.
Only Naruto would hear him, and do you want Naruto relaying stuff for you?
Actually, I do. That would have been more entertaining.
Because of how much you would have messed everything up, right?
Yep.
Obviously, Naruto just needs to figure out how to make the Kyuubi appear as a chakra beast the way that Killer Bee does.
Yeah, because I felt like everyone could understand Eight Tails. Or at least Naruto could understand Eight Tails.
Yeah. I guess he just still doesn't have quite enough control to be able to manifest him that way or whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So, last chapter we're going to talk about is Bleach.
No.
Or not Bleach.
No, we've already talked about Bleach.
B word. We have way too many B mangas, and it was way worse when we had Bakemon in here as well.
Also, I just realized we got Beelzebub and Naruto mixed up in our order.
Whoops. Whatever. It works.
Well, I mean, Beelzebub had an actual color page that was with the scan, so...
Yeah, whatever.
So, yeah, we find out the history of Kugiyama and Himikawa.
Kugiyama has always looked like a female.
So pretty.
Weirdly pretty.
We find out the history of the pompadour. The question everybody's wanted to know.
It's just the thing that makes them who they are.
Yeah.
Like, he gets it as soon as the umbilical cord. Like, there's a little small image of him as a baby with a pompadour.
A little tiny pompadour on his head.
Yeah. But basically, they went to school together. And they decided, after an online game, they got invited to win the demon painting.
Yeah, for some reason.
Right, which I'm assuming is going to come up as a bigger thing later.
Well, because the Solomon Company.
Yeah.
They make a special mention of that.
And Hilda seems to think it's weird. So, the Solomon Company invites them to the game. They win it, then all their teammates turn on each other.
After seeing an image of the painting that they had won.
Right.
Like a JPEG of it.
So Kugiyama decides to knock Himikawa out and take the painting himself. Like, was it really...
One would presume to make it so that it wouldn't ruin their friendship, and then, of course, it caused them to ruin their friendship, but yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be the case, but there's not a whole lot more to this chapter than that. We see what the painting is at the reveal... the final end of the chapter, and it's just of a woman, which I'm going to take a guess is going to be Beel's mom.
I thought the demon said that it's Beel's mom.
There's panels on the left that you must have missed, because she goes, "It is a portrait of your mother, young master."
Oh, I must have missed those, yeah. Oh, because this is a way big page.
Yeah.
That explains
it. It's a two-page spread.
So, good job, though. You guessed it without
it. Yes. Congratulations.
All right.
Quick confirmation.
Now, my question is she human?
She looks like it.
Because she looks human.
I mean, Hilda looks human, too.
Yeah, I guess all the demons look pretty human.
Yeah, but that's the question that came into my mind when I saw it.
So, is Beel going to be half human?
I could see that as being a thing, yeah.
I would guess he's half human, but Anne isn't.
Yeah, they probably all have different mothers, you know, royalty thing.
Right.
It's good to be the king.
So speaking of which, that Solomon Company thing, the people who originally gave away the portrait, the only like connection to anything I can think of would be King Solomon. So is it the Demon King? Is he the Solomon Company?
I don't know that he's that clever.
To come up with a fake name?
Yeah.
He'd just sign it the Demon King?
Pretty much. And it seems like he lost his painting, so he wants it back. So he'd probably never put it up.
I'm wondering if it's going to end up tying back to the, what's it called? The older generation, like the old guys that we've seen previously in the series.
I think it has to.
I could see that.
Like, they wouldn't... I'm sure Behemoth has no interest in a painting of Beale's mother if it's not also En's mother.
Yeah. Solomon Company does sound like something that'd be full of old men.
Yeah.
Something that would be run by Behemoth, and maybe he took the painting because, I don't know, supports En and was jealous of... Well, no, wait. But how long ago it was taken, I guess En wouldn't be that old yet, so...
I mean, it was taken when they were, like, 15, and they're, like, what, 17 now?
Yeah, it's, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it might be something having to do with jealousy of the new flame of the Demon King.
I do love that it's, like, you've been invited to play Call of Duty with us. If you win, we'll give you this ancient portrait.
All right, why not?
But it's a bunch of, you know, rich people with too much time who are betting on it, right?
So is the demon that turns people on each other part of the painting?
Yeah, she's like a familiar
attached to it somehow.
Like, since she, like, the people who got sent a JPEG of the painting turn on each other, then she would have to be part of that JPEG? I don't know, there isn't...
Don't think about it too much. This is Beelzebub. Yeah. It does not operate according to normal realms of logic.
I'm just wondering if they didn't turn on each other because of the painting. Like, because of, like, the demon inside the painting. But it was like, hey, this woman's hot. I want this painting.
No, she's not that hot.
I could see that being a Beelzebub joke.
Everybody turned on each other for other reasons besides the demon whose power it is to turn on people.
Turns out they were just jerks. Because they did just gather them from online.
Yeah, I think you're just overthinking things when it comes to this, and that it's never going to be brought up again.
Maybe. Perhaps. So this is a pretty content-light chapter, but it had a decent Furwitchy gag.
Yeah, with him interrupting the story over and over to talk about how stupid it was.
Which is a common gag manga thing, that they constantly point out the absurdity, and Hilda's like, shut up, you're making the story go slow.
Yeah, because it takes like 5 pages to tell one part, and then after that it gets done in like 1 page.
Yeah.
So now I think the most pressing question is, for next chapter, does Oga light the painting on fire?
I bet he tries to take it out with him, but he can't do it all at once, so he breaks into pieces.
I could see it. Well, no. They had to have gotten it in there somehow, right?
Maybe he'll just fold it in half.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on this, though?
Nah. There was a page, though, this chapter advertising new Beelzebub DVD.
Oh, yeah.
It's the battle with Jabberwocky.
I guess they're just animating that one part.
Yeah.
So that's switching it to OVAs or something like that?
Yeah, that seems like the best bet. So that's coming. Looks like September.
Maybe I'll actually watch that. I wasn't too enthused about the anime because it seemed like it was sort of self-censoring a little bit.
Yeah, it was apparently geared towards a younger audience, I think, was
I think I've said it on here before. It does the thing where, like, somebody goes to punch, and then there's, like, a white flash, and then you just see somebody, like, flying backwards from a punch.
I feel like that's kind of Beelzebub's problem in general, why it can't find, like, the mass audience and why it's been kind of low in the rankings, because...
It's not serious enough, but it's not silly enough.
Yeah. I think the kids who are growing out of Naruto and stuff like that, they want something more serious than Beelzebub. And Beelzebub's too serious and too action-y for the young kids.
We love it because it rides a line, but some people wouldn't like it because it rides a line and doesn't just pick a side.
Yeah.
Whether it wants to be a gag manga or a fighting manga.
We're at war. Pick a side.
I'm with gag manga.
Yeah, I feel like it works better as a gag manga.
I think it works better as a gag manga, but I'm interested enough in the story that I do want to see the story progress.
It was a good chapter this week, though.
Yeah.
Young Kuguyama is the prettiest girl in this manga.
Yes.
Poor Kuneeda. I kept expecting some sort of reveal, like, oh, she was actually a girl, and she's just been hiding it.
Yeah, but nope. They keep saying Mr. Kuguyama.
Yep.
Over and over.
Alright, so I guess that's it for Beale. And that's pretty much it for all our set this week.
No One Piece.
No One Piece this week. No Takagamahara has come out yet.
Takamagahara. You guys will get it.
No, we won't. Because it's kind of a moot point.
Ah.
Yeah. It's...
We could talk about... what's that one called? Oh, Koi Soma Momoji.
No, thank you.
Every week you tease me with saying we're going to talk about it.
Well, no. The one that I had been doing before, because it's the thing that it's actually high in the rankings, is Nisekoi.
Which, yeah, no.
So you've read that one, and you're going no. And the one that I'm talking about that I mentioned this week is so much worse.
Yeah, I've read that too. I read everything.
That's not something to be proud of.
No, it's not.
And yet when we gave you a manga when we were trying to pick out new ones, you were like, I'm not going to read this.
Yeah, which one were you supposed to read and didn't get? Oh, you were going to do all of Toriko, weren't you?
Yep.
Like, no.
Which is supposed to actually be very good, but you didn't make it through it.
I don't read good manga. What are you talking about?
You read whatever they advertise on the front page.
I read whatever has the most cleavage.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I need to get finished. I need not of that. I need to get around finishing Nura because I was like 3/4 of the way through that, and then I stopped. So it'd be interesting to carry that out to the end.
All right. So I guess we'll wrap this up for now. This has been a fairly short cast, but I mean, we've been kind of content light this week.
Again, everything's kind of in the middle of stuff. There's not a whole lot of discussion to be had, I don't think.
Yeah, we're at the peak of all the revelations, basically.
Yes. Next week will probably be a pretty long one.
Especially because we'll have One Piece back.
Well, no, we won't.
We won't?
It's gone. Yes, we will. Nope. No, it's back next week.
It's gone for 2 weeks.
I thought it was only one.
Nope, gone for 2 weeks.
Really? That's depressing.
Absent. No, it's supposed to be back in 35, which is next week.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Stupid movie.
But, I mean, we'll have, like, probably more about the painting, more about the Ten Tails, more about the bad guys and Barrage.
And more Assassination Classroom.
Yeah. Maybe something in that.
But no Takamagahara.
Well, we don't know. Might be translated by then.
I was trying to annoy Mike. Way to ruin it, Greg.
Oh, you guys are right. It'll be back in issue 15 or 35. Yay!
Those are
Yay,
numbers.
So One Piece is back next week.
Yay!
So we'll have more One Piece. All right. Okay, so this has been your Thursday, July 19th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Yep.
And we'll see you all next week.
Later.
Yep.
Something about raping an alien?
Yeah, they rape aliens.
Huh.
Like, rape them. It was weird.
Also, force them to have sex with one another and comment about how they wish they had 3 dicks, too.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, 2 people talk about how they're virgins and, like, make out. It was a weird chapter.